Elizabeth Elliot says, "It takes a steadfast heart to allow the Lord to let His will be done in us. But I want that kind of heart. I say it to Him over and over. Lord, do anything you want with me, at any cost." Welcome to Gateway to Joy. As you seek a closer walk with Jesus Christ, thank you for joining us for another challenge from Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, continuing some talks today based on Jungle Diaries. Yesterday, I read you a little excerpt from a diary that I was keeping when I was a senior in college, and then I skipped over from 1948 to 1956, a few weeks after my husband Jim had been killed when we were missionaries in Ecuador. Then, in the amazing providence of God, He gave me the opportunity to meet two Alka women, members of the tribe that had killed my husband. They came and lived with me, and the time came when I had learned just barely enough of their seemingly impossible language to realize that they were suggesting that I should come back with them because they were going home. They were going back to their people, and they wanted Valerie, who was then 3 years old, and me to come along with them. Well, you can imagine what this news did to the grandmothers of that little three-year-old girl. My in-laws and my parents, of course, wrote me letters of solemn warning. My mother-in-law said, "Please don't get carried away. Zeal is wonderful, but this would be foolish." I had to be extremely cautious and seeking the will of God in doing what seemed to be an outrageous thing, a woman with a baby going into the tribe that had killed that child's father didn't seem to make any sense. And yet God had brought it about in a most wonderful way that I met these two women. He had preserved our lives when we were in the jungle and the Alkas had come out and killed a Quechua Indian just around the bend of the river where we happened to be bathing at the time. And there were just many ways in which it was clear to me that God's hand was in this and I wanted to do whatever He wanted me to do. If I was to go, then I would go. So it came about that we did go with Mintaka and Mancamo, the two Alka women, with Dayuma, a woman that had been in the States at the time with Rachel Saint. She was also an Alka woman who had left her tribe many years before that. Rachel Saint was the sister of the pilot who had been killed along with Jim and the others. So there were three of us white women, counting the three-year-old child, who went in to live with the Indians. I told that story yesterday. The details are in my three books, Through Gates of Splendor, Shadow of the Almighty, and The Savage, My Kinsman. I wrote, "I can never forget those days on the Kurarai." That was the place where I had met these two Alka women and where I had to stay for some time. Romance collapsed entirely. I didn't care if I never saw another Alka. Then I write about my perplexity. Should I go with these two women back when they go to their home? Will they kill me as they killed my husband? And Mancamo, the older of the two women, put her arm around my shoulders and she said, "No." She said, "You're our friend. They won't kill you." We jump to 1958. This is what I have in my journal. "I find perfect contentment in being here. The living conditions, though quite the same, seem much easier than on the Kurarai last year. I have a tiny leaf house, tall enough just under the ridgepole for me to stand up in. I'm learning to be comfortable on a bamboo slab with only a thin blanket. Housework is nil. The Indians do the cooking and share with Val and me. I have one plate, one cup, one pot, and three spoons to wash. Clothes are kept to a minimum. Washing is a pleasure in the clean running river. We have wild pig, wild turkey, and tame pig dropped from the plane yesterday on today's menu. I don't even want regular meals and find that the cookies Ruth Keenan sent in the airdrop are no great temptation." These were things dropped by parachute from the missionary aviation plane. "Made a tape last night of the wild, discordant song of Gikita, Kiemo, Dewey, Gimari, and Dawa. we all sat under the stars again, while the Alcas and the Quechuas took turns singing. The Quechuas, of course, were singing Christian songs. These were Quechua men that had come in to visit us. And the Alca song went like this. And I have counted as many as 70 repetitions of verse 1. So it was an interesting life. Skipping over a whole lot more into the next year. As T.S. Eliot says, I have measured out my life with coffee spoons. Mine has been measured in quite another medium. Here it is sticks of firewood, trips down the muddy bank to the river, file cards, etc. The last week or 10 days have seen hours spent in treating Val's infected fungus on her feet. She gets her clothes so filthy every day, and every morning it's the same story of washing them in cold water on a rock. As if millions of women have not spent millions of hours washing millions more garments for husbands and a dozen children since time immemorial. Why should I fuss? But I put this down here, number one, because I need to reflect on how inexcusable is my discontent in view of how I have received mercy. Number two, because it is better to put it down on dumb, neutral paper than to blow off to a person who could certainly not be helped by it. So, Lord, this is a form of confession. Do thou show thyself faithful and just to forgive. Val, in the space of 24 hours, was stung by a wasp, stepped on a live coal, had a snake lying within inches of her head at night, got infections in about 10 fly bites, had her foot fungus filled with pus, both feet swollen and stiff, and cried with the smoke blowing so often into her eyes. My mind keeps turning over ways to get us out of this situation, when it was the one I prayed so long to be gotten into. And my spirit answers, O ye of little faith, for I know that to God not only my necessities, but my inmost wants are known, and he will withhold from Val and me nothing good. And then follows the old hymn by George Newmark, If thou but suffer God to guide thee. And here's a stanza, Obey, thou restless heart, be still, and wait in cheerful hope, content to take whate'er his blessed will, his all-discerning love hath sent. One night Valerie asked me, Do spiders have tiny, tiny tongues? Why doesn't God move the clouds away so we can see him? But if he takes us up into the clouds, I wouldn't like to get snow in my mouth. Another entry several months later, June 30th. Realizing tonight, after reading the letter of James in Philip's translation, how little I have given thanks for the trials of faith. How little I have known of patient endurance. Endurance, the word that has been repeated to me over and over lately. I'm asking God for that kind, patient endurance, and for a glad willingness to welcome what I would not choose. Already he has given a special joy and sense of peace here in this place where there is so much to offer him as being solely for his sake. This is the true happiness, the ultimate certainty, holds me to the course of obedience with bright expectancy. July 5th. Very thankful to God this Sunday morning for, number one, the life of Christ in me, the hope he gives, the coolness today, the lovely sunshine gleaming on the cane tips across the river, the sound of running water, the absence of bugs, the quiet, the jungle's beauty, a beautiful little daughter, her sweetness and unselfishness are budding, the simplicity of life here, the leisure to think. Shelmera, that was the missionary aviation base, had told us on the radio that our weekly flight would be on Wednesday instead of on Friday. Rain disappointed us on both Wednesday and Thursday. Friday morning, Val prayed, and Lord Jesus, please make the plane come today. I would like the plane to come. And the Alcas like it very much. They love to see the plane. So please make it not rain. Okay, Jesus? Okay? When are you going to tell me? if the plane will come. Yesterday, she asked me if I knew how to swink my eyes. Today, she went upriver with Gimari and Bai. That was an Alka woman and her little boy. And since they delayed a long time, she came home alone. Finding herself quite alone on the forest trail, she tells me, I prayed all by myself in the forest. I said, Lord Jesus, don't let the tigers come and eat me all up. My mama would be sad. And did he hear you? I asked. Yes, the tigers didn't come. He is our shepherd, isn't he? He took care of his little lamb. Yes. Are you his little lamb? Yes. How do you know? I know very much. But tell me how you know. My Lord Jesus helped me to know. July 8th. In all honesty, I do not see among the Alkas the things we think of as the grossest sins. Hatred, jealousy, pettiness, selfishness, maliciousness, lying, pride, envy, covetousness, love of the world, stubbornness, rebellion, laziness, and denial of God. These things simply are not evident in their daily relationships with one another. Why is this? How should I expect them to be changed by the life of Christ? That is, in what new way will his love be manifest in their daily relationships with one another? The other day, when three pigs were killed, Numpu shared her pig with Mankamo, and Mankamo, in turn, shared her pig with Numpu. This is common practice. No matter how small the squirrel or fish, they take a piece to their neighbor, and as in the case of Gikita last night, offer the entire and only fish to me. The end of another diary entry written while I was living with the Alka Indians, the people who had been responsible for killing my husband in 1956.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.